So who learned something at this session? Oh, yay. Thank you. So who learned something that you plan to go back home and talk to a colleague, a boss, somebody about and say, hey, I heard this great idea at APHA. Oh, look at them. Beautiful. Thank you. And the most important question of the afternoon, which is, who thinks this was the best session of the entire conference? There we go. Very, very good. So, Shanda, you like, you? I was worried that the bar would be set high. You like totally can prove. So our last speaker, I'm really excited to hear from her as well. Shanda Singh is a policy analyst with the Policies for Livable Active Communities and Environments, also known as PLACES program, at the LA County Department of Health. Shanda has a background in urban planning and economics and uses both to help foster policy change that supports the development of safe, healthy, active environments for all in LA County.
So hello everyone, I'll try to go fast since I know we only have about 15 minutes left and I'm hoping to leave time for questions. So I'm Shanda Singh, I'm a policy analyst with PLACE, and I have no relationships to disclose. So just a little bit of background on PLACE. We were established in 2007 in the Division of Chronic Disease and Injury Prevention in the Department of Public Health, and we were sort of a new channel to look at the intersection of the built environment and health, but less so from an environmental health perspective, which is what I think the department had done kind of to date, and more from the sort of holistic standpoint that I think we're all here for and the whole reason for this conference, I think. So we do a lot of different things in the PLACE program. We fund cities and community organizations to do work on policy. We collaborate with both internal and external stakeholders to foster policy change. Today I'm just going to focus and provide a case study on sort of our low resource direct technical assistance model, which great to hear that you guys are thinking about doing the same thing, so we should definitely connect. But how's it going? So I think we all know what active transportation is. It's people-powered movement. And why active transportation? And I think, you know, all of the speakers here today, and I'm sure you've heard it before in the conference, have sort of highlighted it. There's just transportation plays such a large role in so many different things. And I'm just going to skip to this slide. Which is a county health rankings model, which I think kind of does a great job of listing out some key health factors, and it's really easy to think about how transportation impacts each of those factors. Physical environment, I think, is very obvious, but you know, if you can't get to a store easily because your bus is late or comes once an hour, you're going to have a challenge accessing healthy food. So, you know, as an organization, I think we at Public Health saw a lot of potential in helping to shape our transportation system and those decisions. And at the time, sort of at the beginning, early stages of PLACE's development, a local half-cent sales tax measure in LA County passed, Measure R, and was going to, over 30 years, provide $40 billion in transportation investment. And the measure had some things outlined, like how are we going to spend this money? A lot of it wasn't, which is also a challenge. You know, it posed an opportunity, but also some really significant threats, because we were really concerned about where this funding was going to go, who it was going to support, especially from an equity and, you know, structural sort of perspective. Is it really going to go to the communities of need? And I think given the political and cultural climate in LA County, talking about active transportation at the time wasn't really that easy. People saw it as a choice between, I have to either, you know, are we going to do everything for cyclists and pedestrians, or am I going to be able to still drive places? So we were really a region of a lot of competing interests and a lot of people to convince that, again, if we support walking and biking and transit, we can do a lot for everybody. And locally at the time, we were only investing, and actually still sort of are, only investing 1% of our local transportation dollars into active modes, even though 19% of trips in the county are made by walking and biking. So we were really used to this huge disinvestment and, you know, kind of split. So we knew that without investment from somewhere, we weren't really going to move as a region. And what we really lacked in their area was advanced planning. We just did not a lot of communities in LA County had transportation planning. We established this healthy, what we call it the Healthy Policies Initiative model, because through our competitive funding streams, we had just, I think, all this, Indiana presentation kind of highlighted that some cities were really great at applying for funding, getting it, were really interested in moving, but we really weren't working with the communities of highest need. And that was problematic. So we decided to try this new model where we would go directly to the cities, ask them if they wanted to collaborate with us and work with them, and we would take on all of the management of the project. We would be the lead on community engagement, and we would take on all the administrative fiscal burden. So basically, we were saying, we have this thing to offer you. Would you like to work with us? There was no paperwork signed. And that was a huge benefit to a lot of these very small cities in LA County that have overextended staff and were challenged with the paperwork that comes with accepting federal or state funds. And this allowed us to be a lot more nimble with funding. We were able to do a lot more with a lot less. And in general, in planning, we like to use an inside-outside approach and model to transportation planning. We need our partner, the city, to commit to developing the plan, to commit to implementing. But we need our external stakeholders, whether they're agency or community, to help shape, really be the basis of what that plan is and hold the city accountable. So here is just a bunch of examples of cities that we've partnered with and what they've done. We started at HPI in 2010, and we basically went through, we prioritized all the cities based on health outcomes and economic outcomes. So we created an index just to try to choose, like, who do we talk to first? Because there are 89 jurisdictions in LA County, and there are 10.8 million people. So we are the largest county in the United States, and we don't have that many staff and that many resources, so we really had to prioritize. So the city that I'm talking about today is the city of Cudahy, which is very small. It's just 1.2 square miles, but it's very dense. It's got about 23,000 people, and that's 1.2 square miles. So I think it's actually the 19th densest city in the United States. Something like that. But it's got really poor health outcomes. It ranks 123rd out of 128 communities in LA County for economic hardship. Adult obesity is 29.5% compared to 24% at the county level. And their median household income is $38,000. So we're talking about a city that does not have great health outcomes. So I think Wendy kind of already went over this, but our approach was to we met with staff at the city about partnering and asked them, what do you think is a project that you need? And because they have a very young, it's a very young city. It's what I should also mention, it's 98% Latino. So it was a very young city, a lot of people walking and biking already, and a lot of kids. And so we decided to focus on safe routes to school. They have five schools within that 1.2 square miles. I think Wendy and others have already kind of gone over that. First I just want to focus, and I think people have already highlighted this, that we spent probably most of our time as staff just building relationships. We would go, and we did it in a lot of different ways. We did tons of one-on-one meetings with different people. We did sort of focus groups. We did educational presentations. And we tried to go to any existing meeting that was happening. So we really abandoned the model of, oh, we're going to have a community meeting, and you should all come, and we're going to talk about safe routes to school. That doesn't work, or it certainly hasn't really worked that well for us, not to completely abandon your own, project, but we needed to be careful with our time, and we felt like this is how we were going to make the biggest impact. We found out what people's priorities were, and we tried to connect this planning process to what was already happening in the city and other challenges that the community members were having. And we definitely made sure to do a lot of educational presentations to City Council, the Planning Commission, the Public Safety Commission, any commission that's going to have a stake and could either rise to the top as to play a leadership role or could potentially oppose the plan in the future. So the last sort of bucket of stakeholders that we worked with were these external city partners. So we partnered with Kaiser, which is a hospital, international, I don't know, local law enforcement, LAUSD school police, pretty much anybody, and also external city partners. So because this is a very small city in a huge region, we worked with the cities that touched this city. I think what was really critical to our success was trying to look for easy wins and engagement opportunities. So a typical active transportation planning process in our experience has been about 1 to 2 years to do. And infrastructure takes much longer. You're looking at like 5 to 10, and that's kind of like on a good, 5 years is pretty good in California, depending on what it is, of course. So it's really challenging to keep the community's attention and explain, like, why is it taking so long? And really, to them, it may look like you're ignoring a problem they just told you about. So we really try to tie in and emphasize, tie into other programs that were happening and bring some of the encouragement education lens of Safe Routes to School to bring in resources. So like we applied for a mini grant from Kaiser to develop Walk to School Day kits for each school that had like chalk and safety vests and things like that to help them plan their own Walk to School Day. We also did some trainings on Walk to School Day, so we were trying to bring in other resources to folks so that they felt empowered to do something until infrastructure came. Plan development and evaluation was sort of happening concurrently. So we also in LA County have we have automated bicycle and pedestrian counters, which we deploy in certain areas of the city. So we did counts to really capture what was happening on the ground. We found that in Cudahy, during like the 30-minute interval at school pickup, there are over 1,000 people walking in front of these schools, one of the locations, which is a huge number. Then we also did parent surveys, and I encourage you to use the National Center for Safe Routes to School parent survey to really find out what the barriers were from parents. We did a lot of similar to, I think, that what everybody's described, walk audits, mapping exercises, where people could really mark down, here's where I'm having a problem, and here's what the problem is, so we can think about how to solve it. So really the last phase of the project was adoption and implementation. Once the plan was done, we took it back out to the community to make sure it reflected their input. Because the council and commissions were all so involved and we kept them engaged throughout the process, it really sailed through adoption. There was just no problem. And we also organized the city's first annual, we helped organize the city's first annual Walk to School Day, International Walk to School Day, which is what these pictures are from. And, we invited all of the council members to meet up to be at one of the walking points so that they could lead the walk. So it's a way to engage their constituents, to get them, gives them a little time at the mic, they love that. So it's like easy to get behind cute kids walking. The next thing that we did was we set our sights on implementation, and I think that was a key thing throughout the entire process. So we went after a grant, the Active Transportation Program, which Wendy detailed, which has its great issues. But anyways, we were able to secure $1.4 million for the city for improvements for the plan that was in here. And, we don't qualify under the rural category. And so it was, in the general statewide competition. So we were pretty proud of that and very excited. And I think it just speaks to how critical a good community engaged participatory planning process is to getting a good plan and then being able to write a good grant. So I just wanted to do very quickly with my 1 minute. Some of the lessons learned, which I think people have already highlighted. One of the things that we found was that staff was much more, they were not only more interested in working on active transportation, but they were also interested in other DPH programs. So we were able to, during our time, connect them to nutrition education materials and, you know, oh, do they want to work on a smoke-free policy, other stuff. And so they've been reaching out to us much more regularly to be like, hey, you know, what else is happening? Maybe there's something else we can partner with. So we think that's a really good sign. You know, it's integral to have staff that has time to, like, me, other public health staff, act as an extension of the city staff. You know, there was no task too small. I did things like fill out paperwork, shuttle, like, and sometimes I felt like a little bit like the intern they never had, but some of this stuff is complicated and it just kind of is not, you know, being done because they are so strapped for time and have so many priorities. So anything that you can help out with, I think, is critical to building trust and, again, that relationship. You know, I think people have mentioned this, look for your existing and budding champions and providing them that opportunity and encouraging them to lead. So we did a lot of these trainings, but we would really try to see, okay, who's coming to all these meetings? And even if they didn't spoke, you know, after the meeting, we would go up to them and say, hey, how about you take the lead on calling these people for the next meeting? Or, hey, do you want to be the one to, you know, get up at the next meeting and demonstrate this? And it's just like these small things. I think the whole process was really to create more civically engaged residents and for them to feel empowered, not only around transportation, but about everything else that's going on in their community. And, you know, lastly, I think, just this picture, obviously for internet, this is from after International Walk to School Day, we could not have done it without the help of our external partners that we engaged during the planning process. Sheriff's Department, LUSD School Police were just really critical in helping, and so that really paid dividends. Investing early in your external partnerships really pays off. And lastly, I would just say that it's okay if the process isn't totally linear. Like there's lots of things that happen that come up. You know, take advantage of those other moments. I think it was really critical that we started thinking about grants and actually started applying for a lot of stuff before the planning process was even up, so we could keep that momentum. And I think, you know, what speaks to that is that because we were able to do we leveraged our Kaiser grant to first do International Walk to School Day last year, and then we did some bicycle rodeos and other engagement later, that now Kaiser has their own. It's called Karahan Marcha, and it's like their own walk bike group. So, you know, this year they organized Walk to School Day, and like I had nothing to do with it. So, that's success to me, is that we've been able to kind of walk away and, you know, or not walk away, but be less involved in the day to day, and they're really taking it on. So, sorry, I went over you guys. Thank you. Feel free to contact me.